Let's take our Bibles at this time and turn to John 10. Considered a verse of this chapter this morning, this great chapter of the great shepherd and his sheep. And we want to consider another couple of verses of this marvelous chapter 10 of John. Let's begin reading at verse 27 to the end of the chapter. Jesus is speaking, and he speaks thus of his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. Many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true. And many believed in him there. Thus far, John 10, God's word. May he bless the reading of it to our understanding and to our sanctification. John 10 in verses 28 and 29 are the two precious verses on which I would have you meditate as we preach of these things. John 10, 28, 29. And Jesus says, And I give them, the sheep, eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. We are commending to your attention in sermons today things that are blessed things to know as we begin another year and as we begin another year as God's people. And the things that are blessed to know is the reality that we have a great shepherd, Jesus Christ, and also the reality that he is wonderful. So we know this, and we've been introduced into this once again in our sermon this morning. We have a real and authentic Savior. He's not a fake. And we have a wonderful Savior who's a shepherd who identifies himself in John 10 as Jehovah, the good shepherd, come to be with his people in the flesh. Besides that, we need to know as we begin this year, a precious knowledge this is, of the reality of sheep and of the reality of our being the sheep of God. For surely being the sheep of God is a blessed thing, as we saw this morning. For the sheep hear the voice of Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so we want to hear, as we begin this new year, of the reality of the shepherd and of the sheep and of there being this wonderful people that he has made by his grace into calling, for they hear his voice, he knows them, and they follow him. And so tonight we resume that wonderful subject of the wonderful and authentic shepherd and of the wonderful and real people of God. And we want to consider the sheep's life, or a sheep's life, as the theme of my sermon. And we're going to consider three things about the sheep and thus about their God. But first of all, about the sheep, Jesus is talking of them in our text. And the first thing is that they have this life that is of a great span of duration. It's a forever life, even. And secondly, we want to consider that their life, the sheep's life, is a holy life. And finally, we want to consider that theirs is a truly blessed and happy life. So may God bless us with that characteristic and blessedness of sheep of which Jesus speaks and of which we will speak a few words in the sermon tonight. I research lots of things in preparation for sermons, and so that they're directly and indirectly related to the sermons that I bring. And one of the things, the curiosities that I had in preparing for this sermon is, well, how long do sheep live? And came up with this fact, not a lot of research in it, with the internet, click of a button. Sheep, we're told, live, domesticated ones, from 10 to 12 years old, and maybe 20, maybe up to 20, if the sheep are of stouty body. Well, that's how long they live on earth, but there's an astounding thing that's brought out by our Savior here, and that is that the sheep, His people, believers, they live forever. Have you ever thought of what a wonderful aspect of the blessedness of Christianity is? We live forever because, as Jesus says, He gives unto the sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That's the first thing that we need to know here. Of the sheep's life, we say, because God says, it's a forever life. And this, I say, is a great, great blessedness to know as we enter another year and begin another year, and maybe we're feeling rather old. Maybe we're facing the prospect in our own life or in our families of the brevity of life in 2017. The sheep live forever. Now, what's taught here, and this is front and center in our passage, and I want to deal with it right away, is a truth which is a doctrine, a teaching of God's Word. And the doctrine is the preservation of the saints, the eternality of these sheep called Christians, the preservation of the saints, so that when you're a Christian, if you are a true Christian, and you're a sheep, therefore, you are forever a sheep and a Christian. You are forever saved. This doctrine is largely challenged in evangelical circles. We want to set it forth here. We want not to belabor the point, but we do want to set it forth. And I find seven ways that we can indeed appreciate the preservation of the saints that Jesus is bringing out here. Number one, they're His sheep. Why is it so that we believe that we as Christians will always be Christians if we are truly the sheep of God? Well, it's simply because, as Jesus says, sheep are His sheep. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give them eternal life. You see, what's at stake here is the value of the Savior and the value of Him keeping the sheep that have been given to Him. And that's why we believe in the preservation of the saints, why we believe in the preservation of the sheep. Why? Because they're Jesus' sheep. You ever stop to think what it would be if you actually believed, like many people believe, that the life, the eternal life of the sheep was ever in jeopardy? Well, I think you'd have to be concluding, if you were honest with the Bible, that there's something wrong with the Savior's keeping those sheep. something wrong with his death. Maybe he didn't die for their sins and didn't pay for their sins so that God still has something against them. Maybe you'd have to conclude, and I think you certainly would, if the sheep are going to perish, Christ's sheep, that Christ's prayers, even now from heaven, are ineffectual to some degree, or maybe with regard to lots of folks who are his sheep for a while, but who, alas, go astray. Jesus is said in Hebrews 7 to ever live to make intercession for the sheep. We would have to be those who deny the effectiveness and the power of Jesus' prayers if we would say that those sheep for whom he prays go lost. And so the merit of Jesus and the mediation of Jesus is something that confirms us in the truth. Yes, once you're a sheep, you'll always be a sheep. And how important is that for us to know as we enter another year? Now, secondly, I want to say this. The text itself brings out the fact that it is true, life that we have is life eternal as sheep, simply because, as we heard this morning, the sheep follow Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Well, I would ask you the question, and I could ask the children of the question, and I think they would know this too. Where's Jesus now? Jesus is in heaven, isn't he? Well, follow the logic of the text. Follow what following means. If Jesus' sheep follow him, he's saying here they follow him to heaven. They follow him wherever he leads, and they do follow him. For it is a fact they follow him. Not they may follow him, they might, they ought to. They follow him. And if Jesus is in heaven, therefore, they're following him to heaven. Now, that's not just a cute bit of exegesis here, but it is the ramification of the sheep following Jesus. They follow him to heaven. As sure, in fact, as they follow him to heaven, is Jesus saying, I know them. Every statement here in this text is a true statement. My sheep hear my voice. True. I know them. True. And they follow me. Where? Everywhere. I'm in heaven. They're going to heaven. Thirdly, what Jesus gives to the sheep is life. Early on in the text, in the passage of John 10, he says, I give them life abundantly. Here he says, I give them eternal life. How long is eternity? It's forever. It has no end. And so this, once again, proves the fact that the sheep of God are saved forever. Fourth reason that we know of the preservation of the saints is that they are given eternal life. Note what Jesus says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I give them eternal life. Well, that means it's a gift. If Jesus gives it, it's a gift. It's not merited, and therefore that means you cannot demerit this gift because it's a gift in the first place. And so if it's a gift in the first place, if grace is involved in the giving, therefore grace will be involved in the being kept with that gift in having the eternal life. And so that's another reason why we believe in the doctrine of the preservation of the saints. Besides that, Jesus says emphatically here, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, how more emphatic can you get? Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they, every one of the sheep, will never perish. Not one. Not one. And perish means be destroyed. They will never become sheep that are now dead and that are destroyed and that are those who are in hell. And Jesus is saying here that the eternal life in them will never be destroyed. And I think he's saying something also about their being sheep. And what he's saying here basically is the sheep never become goats. The sheep are always sheep. And the sheep, according to Jesus' definition, are his own. The Pharisees were not of his sheep, and therefore they did not believe. But God's people are the true sheep of God's pasture, and they will never become goats. And so we don't believe in some kind of change of sheep into something different, even though we act often sheepish and we go astray. But more on that presently. Jesus says, these sheep will never perish. And then he says this in the sixth place, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And what he's saying here is he has a strong hand. You know how strong the hand of Jesus is, children? It's stronger than your daddy's hand. It's stronger than both of your daddy's hand. It's the strong hand of the mediator. It's the hand of love. It's the hand of power. And if anyone would doubt that this is not enough or say that this is not enough, Jesus quickly goes on to say, my Father, who's given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And so what Jesus says here is that the sheep are held below and they're held from above by this God who is my God and my Father and your God and your Father for my sake. And so the mediator says, I have this hand and I hold the sheep and they are in my Father's hand as well. And so you have seven reasons here in the text itself why we believe in the preservation of the saints. And this is simply the truth that's taught so often in the Bible, in other places. Philippians 1, for example, Paul was confident that God, who had begun a good work in the Philippians, would perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And this, you see, against all opposition. We may not say here that Jesus is allowing for exceptions or that Jesus is saying anything else than the plain words that he's saying here. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. That means they shall always be preserved. Some like to say, well, that's just Jesus' part. Jesus is saying, on my part, well, I'm going to keep my end of the bargain, but it's going to be the case that some of those sheep, they won't be, maybe a lot of those sheep, they won't be able to keep their end of the bargain, and so they'll ultimately go lost. Or maybe people will say, well, this is an argument. Jesus is not speaking here of every aspect of salvation and that it is absolutely necessary and even foundational for you to keep on being sheep as if this was some kind of condition and ground for your maintaining your sheephood. The problem with this kind of reasoning is it is not derived from the Word of God itself. It's an adding to the Word of God. And it's something that is in denial of what Jesus says everywhere and the apostles say everywhere, and the Old Testament as well corroborates. I want to point out to you also these words of Jesus in John 6 and 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Now to name just one other text. And the text is this in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, a beautiful text. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That leads to the second point that I want to make. One of the great slanders of the doctrine of the preservation of the saints is this. If you say that God's sheep are always sheep, that they will never be lost, that's going to be a great excuse for those sheep to live whatever way they want. And so there's going to be this people that confesses all 5 points of Calvinism, all 2 verses of Jesus, all 27 verses of Paul that speaks of the preservation of the saints, and they're going to skew it all, and they're going to forget all the texts that speak of responsibilities and threats and so on, and they're just going to live and party hardy, and Sunday will be the holy day, but the rest of the time, that's liberty to live the way you want, sow your wild oats, and enjoy the best of the things of heaven, maybe, and especially the things of earth. Well, once again, we must go back to the Word of God, which indeed, and we have to be honest with this, speaks of people who confess the faith and who do fall away. Speaks of a Judas who once confessed to be a disciple and he falls away. Speaks in Hebrews 6 of those who've tasted of the good word of life and the powers of the world to come. And there's some movement of the Spirit upon them and in their life. And so people will say, that proves that once a sheep, you can unsheep yourself by your sin. To this argument, the fact that people go astray, and maybe you know people who've gone astray. And I think maybe all of us could point to people who once confessed Christ, who were baptized maybe officers in the church, and they go astray, and maybe they renounce the faith altogether. How do you argue that? How do you argue the fact that the Bible speaks of these instances and maybe whole nations that go astray, Israel, for example? Well, one word I have with that. First of all, the word of our text. The word of our text. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. That's what Jesus says, and that's the clear word of God. What about those other texts? Well, the Apostle John reminds his little children in 1 John 2. Yes, there were people who left them, but John says, if they left us, here's what he says in so many words, they left us. But if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us, but they left us because they were never of God and they were never true believers. Now, John is not speaking here of simply of people who leave his congregation. We may not say that either. People leave our congregation, that doesn't mean they're unbelievers. It could be, especially if they're under the discipline of the church. This is a very alarming thing. But John is not saying that. He's speaking of false believers. And this we know is the case in Christendom. There are knots of people of Christendom, the outward circle of the church, who are not necessarily sheep in that fold of Christendom. And so this is what we need to be reminded of here. And also as well, that it is the case that being a sheep does not make God's people unholy. In fact, if we are made sheep, we are made holy. You see, our Savior, when He saves us and makes us sheep, He commands us to follow Him, and we follow. Note that. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Why? Well, because I said the command, and they want to obey the command. But there's something even deeper than that. And our catechism gets this out when it's instructing us in this. But also the Bible does. You know what happens when sheep are made sheep by faith, and they're purchased by the Savior, and then they're indwelt by the Spirit? Well, they are joined to Jesus. They are the body of Jesus. Romans 6, Paul faces the same objection. What shall we sin that grace may abound? And so on. He says, God forbid. How shall we that are joined to Jesus, to His death and to His life, sin any longer therein? And so, it's the fact of the nature of the life of sheep that puts them on the way of holiness. Besides that, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit when Jesus saves us and gives us faith. And the Holy Spirit, He's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us the beginning of the holy life. And this is a marvelous, you see, a continuity that exists between all of the aspects of the work of God. They are one. Jesus saves sinners to be saints who are sheep and sheep who are saints. And besides that, a wonderful thing has happened to you and to me if we be sheep. We now love to be God's people. And we hate to sin. That's a fact. If we're sheep, we love to hear the Savior's voice and to follow Him. When strangers call, We don't recognize the voice, and we follow Jesus instead. The love of God shed abroad in our heart makes us to be holy and to want to be holy. I want to read for you one of our creeds, which speaks of this very thing when it's answering the slanders of the Arminians in the Canons of Dort, chapter 5, article 12 and following. If you wanted to follow along, it's page 111 in the Psalter Hymnals. Dealing with this crucial, crucial aspect of Christian doctrine, Article 12, this certainty of perseverance, however, is so far from exciting in believers a spirit of pride or of rendering them carnally secure that, on the contrary, it is the real source of humility, filial reverence, true piety, patience in every tribulation, fervent in prayers, constancy in suffering and in confessing the truth, and of solid rejoicing in God, so that the consideration of this benefit of the preservation of the saints should serve as an incentive to the serious and constant practice of gratitude and good works, as appears from the testimony of Scripture and the examples of the saints. And then the last article there. And as it has pleased God by the preaching of the gospel to begin this work of grace in us, that is, by the preaching of the gospel, so he preserves and continues and perfects it by the hearing and reading of his word, by meditation thereon, and note this, and by the exhortations, threatenings, and promises thereof, and by the use of the sacraments. End of the article, 14, Canons of Dort. In chapter 5, beloved people of God, are you a sheep? Then you're holy. Are you a sheep? Then as a faithful servant of Christ, I would call you to be holy. As the canons remind us, it's by the call to be holy and by the threat of judgment for all who are pretenders that God preserves the life of the sheep. And so, people of God, be holy. This year, 2017, what shall we be? Calmly and casually Christian, or militant and self-denying and taking up the cross, followers of the Lamb? What shall it be? Are we sheep in every aspect of our life? Can we say, if someone were to ask us, why are we going to that bijou? Why are we going to that theater? Why are we going to that house of ill refute? Can we say, well, I'm just following Jesus? Of course not. Can we say, with a click of the button on the internet and we're going to this site, if someone would see us and ask us what you're doing, can we say, well, I'm just following Jesus? And of course, we couldn't be saying that. You see, Jesus here is very practical, and the doctrine of preservation is very practical because, you see, there's a way of preservation. It's the way of God working in us and God working powerfully in us now to respond so that there is a response and a responsibility and a working in our heart to hate sin and to love God. And so in 2017, when the devil who loves sin and who hates God is saying, come and follow me, who are we going to listen to? We warn our children of stranger danger. I heard that phrase just the other day. Yeah. Don't hear strangers, children. There's danger in strangers. You don't know, your parents don't know. In this world, yes, it is. It's a danger. Why do we listen then? All kinds of things. Strange things. Things contrary to the voice of Jesus. Things competing with the voice of Jesus through the preaching of the gospel, through the word of God. Why do we do this? It is to our shame, isn't it? So we must heed the call, because that's how Jesus would preserve us. And that's how Jesus would work in us to be proper, willing sheep who hear his voice and who come gladly And you see, then, so they don't have to be dragged or prodded as if Jesus comes from behind. No, as Jesus says in another place in this text, he says, I go out and they follow me. How do they follow? Willingly. Love. Joy. To hear the shepherd call their voice. Hear him. That's the happy life. It is. That's the happy life. I know, in one sense, it's the wretched life. You know that? As Christians even, there's a wretchedness about us. Yeah, let me explain that, because I don't want to discourage you at all. Not at all, and I don't want to discourage myself. But when God makes a sheep, he makes a sheep and he begins the new life. But there's a lot more to go, isn't there, of sanctification. We're so sheepy in the sense that we're prone to go astray, aren't we? And just about the first thing we do is complain when something happens, or look that way when some babe walks by, instead of looking up to God. And it's a kind of wretchedness that's worked in. This is a biblical word, Romans 7. Wretched man that I am, he says, as a believer, the good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall save me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. Wretchedness, but blessedness. Because you see, dead men, they don't know the struggle. Dead women, dead young people. If you're dead, you don't have a struggle. You don't have a conscience. Or maybe you do, but you're just constantly hardening yourself. But God's people do, and that's a sign God's at work in you. That's a sign of your being a sheep of His. That's a sign, not that you've just fallen off the horse, you've got back on. You've gone the wrong way for a while, now you're back on. That's the sign. The endurance and the preservation, the perseverance of the ones who shall finally be preserved. And note, it really is a blessed life, and I want to leave you with this. It is. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. And he's not just talking about an endless life, duration. He's talking about quality of life. We speak of that always, quality of life. As we're dying, let's preserve them in a certain quality of life. Let's have enough money so that we can preserve ourselves in the last 20 years of our existence with a good quality of life. Well, Jesus says something better. Eternal life, which is knowing God, the joys of heaven, the glory of being in fellowship with the Creator, the amazing blessing of sanctification, which makes you the person you're supposed to be, the young girl you're supposed to be, the little boy of God you're supposed to be, the parents, the husband, the wife, the grandparent we're supposed to be, the elders, the deacon, the pastor you're supposed to be, the organist you're supposed to be, a sanctified person, which is a happy person, which is one who knows God and knows his only comfort in life and in death. He belongs to Jesus now and forever. And belonging to Jesus, he belongs to God. That's God's word. Ezekiel said it long ago. John 10 is a fulfillment of Ezekiel's word in chapter 34. Let me just read that for you. Chapter 34, some of the verses. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, So I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There shall they lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. And then, verse 23, I will establish one shepherd over them. He shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause the wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And finally, thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them. And they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. That was God's word way back when, through Ezekiel. Now in these latter days, God has spoken again in His Son, the Word. I am the Good Shepherd who gives His life for the sheep. And I know my sheep. They hear my voice. They follow me. And I give to them graciously eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone or any devil pluck them out of my hand. Going into this year and always, remember that. Sheep of God, your shepherd, your good shepherd. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for the word, the good word of the good shepherd. We thank you, Father, that you give us hope that in this year it will be about your being God. And because you will be God in this year, our good shepherd leading us, you will keep us being sheep. You will keep us following you and keep us hearing when naturally we're so stubborn and so deaf. You will lead us back when we go astray. You will lead us so that we're holy and we follow you. We find our happiness and our joy not in following the world, but in following our Savior. Bless each and every one and all of us together. Those who may be visiting, Lord, bless them. May we all know that you will be with us and you will care for us. This year is yours, and we are glad to enter into it, to testify and to praise your name as the God of this year and eternity. We know, for we are your sheep, and to us you've given eternal life. Amen.